You know, we heard beautiful words that were inspired and set the music. And then we're fortunate to have talent that can express those words in song. And we stand here today with a prayer in our heart that we are close to God. And we do know that He knows how we think. And we've thought to come to church. And here we are. And then here's a little old guy up here, gray-headed. Learned a few things in life. It's been good for him because God's blessed me all my life. And it is because of His mercy, His blessing, and spirit that we bask in this house together in brotherly love. And that's charity. And all the great words that was put to music has been spoken in just plain words. We know that God is the great I Am, the Almighty. None above Him, from whom no other, where all blessings flow. He's a terrible one in His wrath. He's a consuming fire. And the Scripture bears that out with Aaron's sons at the altar. He's a God of great mercies and charities, the power to destroy both body and soul. And as all the words that we sang have all been inspired of that Holy Spirit, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what is our greatest goal is life eternal. One guy come in, barged his way into Abraham Lincoln's office, stared at Lincoln in the face just out of a blue sky. He said, "Mr. Lincoln," he says, "I regard you as a man of wisdom, responsibility, and a God-fearing man." And he said, "I want some advice." Lincoln looked at him and he said, "Only thing I can say is be prepared." And how that fits our life. Be prepared. You know, in my put together and time, putting my feet down on this and part of this big universe, I can't forget that God's real. You know, the world don't believe He's real, but we do, because we felt His Spirit. The goal in life is life everlasting. What's in our manifest of life that when we stand before the judgment bar, what will He see and what will He find? And what He will be convinced of, and will we be the one that says, "Here's, come in, my faithful servant." And that's the road of life, the plan of probation. When Moses went up and got the tablets, brought them back, I haven't seen them, but I've heard about them. And you know, it disturbed the world. And man didn't realize it, but he was put on probation right then because it'd come back with the do's and don'ts. And the guy spends time in prison, he spends his time and he gets on parole. What's that mean? He better be better on his best behavior. He can't go do it again. And so the plan of redemption that God has given mankind is His mercy and His love and His great sacrifice. And if He hadn't have established the plan of redemption, there wouldn't be no road of probation. And so then what would they be judged on? Wouldn't there be need for Judgment Day? But Judgment Day is around the corner for all of us. So that means every day it needs to be a prevailing prayer in our heart to redeem every fleeting moment in righteousness. That takes discipline. That takes a being awake. And that's not sitting by yourself a worrying. We got a lot of responsibility is to guide our lives, our people, our children, to love God. And if you come nigh unto Him, He come nigh unto you. And I can't think of one book that's been presented to mankind that has disturbed the world, all of the world, like the Book of Mormon. And if it hadn't stirred up the devil and sent him to work, then it wouldn't have a purpose. But it's the opposition to the devil. And you can't get in his back pocket and ride all the way. You can't do it. You have to be serious about life. And we got, you know, things that we save for a rainy day or to repair something, and you order it, it gets on a manifest and gets ordered. And have we ordered anything that we need to a tool or an implement to put in our hand so we can do a good job on the work we got in front of us? We got to have the right tools. And that's an honest heart, a heart with full purpose. And so the things we're going to have with us is the spirit that we die with, and the record that it's in the Book of Life. And so, as we go through life, we order different kinds of inventory so we can meet our days of probation. So that you got an inventory. What are we going to offer, have on the shelf for the Lord when we get there? We're not going to carry our own suitcase, but they will be something that we'll present to Him. A pure heart, an honest heart, a charitable heart. Me and I have a record of being a good grandpa. You can't be a good grandpa unless you've been a good dad. And you can't be a good dad unless you're a good man. And you can't be a good man unless you're a good boy. And you got to have, and most everybody does have, a good mama. When they first see that little pink guy, what do? They cuddle him, they love him, and they tell him what to do and what not to do as he meets each new day. And as we go through life, we meet all these things that disturb us. And it's how we handle them before God that makes the difference. And we can't bog down in our own self-pity and think that we're the only ones that's got a broken leg. There's other people out there. I heard a story of a guy was feeling bad, and I've got my thoughts kind of jumbled here. I'll have to back up here a little bit. I got notes, you know. You know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians, and when I answer the question, what's in my inventory for God? And then it says, 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, 28th verse, let a man examine himself. And that needs to go on all every day. Examine yourself, your thoughts. And examine himself, his inventory. What has he got to offer God? His needs, supplies for his earthly, temporal maintenance of life. Let a man examine himself, his spiritual life. What do we believe in or on? You know, in and on is two different words. In is within something, and if you believe in Christ, you believe all that he professes and what he promises. You believe in him. He's not lying to you. And on him, it means you trust what all he said. And whatever Christ has been quoted as written in the scriptures, we need to pay attention. We don't need to try to find out what this word down here means or what kind of clothes he wears or what it is. It's his heart that that God looks at. We believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom, all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all things which God, but the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent for your sins. And to repent from your sin means to stop. And if you haven't repented, you haven't stopped. And you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourself before God. And then songs that have been penned, they speak about being humble. And a person that's chastised by the Spirit of God, or personal or from his Father, it's because he loved him. Tell him how to protect himself. And there's always things he have to do. And ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, it says, see you do. So you always have something to do. And the things that's most important is the spiritual things of the way your mind works by the Spirit that lightens it up. And so we need to be awake every day, and we shouldn't have any animosity against somebody because he made me mad. I had enough getting mad when I was growing up. I fought all the time. I fought the teacher. I got it all out of my system. I ain't been mad at nobody yet. I don't get mad. I may get provoked, and I can say I love a man, but maybe I don't like what he's doing, because it gives us the method and the way to judge the world, and we judge what they're doing is wrong today. And so what we do about it is how we act before God every day. What we do, what we think, how we influence our neighbor. I got the best neighbors in town. At least maybe I'm fooled, but they're good. And they always come to help me. And they seem to like me. I don't know exactly why, but I like it. And it's a lot easier and a lot more gratification in your soul and mind and heart when you do something that somebody needs and you provide it. You don't have to brag about it. You don't need to do that. You can see the thing written on their face, that whether it's good or not. And it's good to have done something good. Not to boast, but to feel good, to give somebody something. And everything that was important to mankind, God gave it. And he gave his life and paid for it, suffered all that. Why? Because he's merciful, isn't he? He's loving, wants to support his people, his creation. He never shortchanged anything for mankind. Mankind just naturally wanted to be a rebel, I guess. But we got to think in a real term of that guy over there ain't got no shoes on. I better put some on him if he can't do it himself. If you can see the needs of others and don't have to be coaxed and caught and told that you ought to do that, you can look around. And we can preach a sermon just by doing things because you see what they do. And I've made an influence on a lot of people, not to boast. But it's a comforting feeling to know that they like you and they come by and they do everything they can to make you happy. That's good. And anyway, that's the way my days start. I tell God I'm glad I'm alive. I need to eat some more watermelon. And he made it. And I'm not going to worry about it, see if it's poison. When it blooms and gets ripe, it's right there. I don't have to worry about it. So we need to put an unwavering faith in God as to what he says he will do if there's that whole big if. And when we went into the water, we made a commitment. We told God right straight out that what we were going to do, how we thought about it. And then has that commitment been trespassed on? Mighty lot of time. But the plan of redemption gives us a way to get back out underneath that dirty blanket. And getting the sunshine again. You know, when the lawyer asked Christ how to get this eternal life and how to do this and what was the greatest of the Ten Commandments, and he quoted it right to Christ, love your neighbor as yourself, and so forth. And he complimented him and said, yeah, you're right. So with that right there is an influence in your mind and heart of how you should be this side of the Lord, be in his favor. And he said to him, thou hast answered right, this do, and you shall live. And when he shall live, if you do what that admonition said, why then he will be doing what God told him to do. That's just a product and the condition to live by. And I don't worry about where I get my next meal. I don't worry about going down the road and coming back safe. I don't worry about that. And my loved ones, he blesses my people just like he blesses your people. And we're none above the other one, not one above the other one. We're all equal inside of God's eyes of our worth as a human being to receive his blessings and his way of life. I'm blowing somewhere. I knew there was some hot air somewhere. Come as a little child, or you can in no wise enter into the kingdom. How many people in the world today think that God's already done the great thing? It's all done. He's done it. He's a wonderful God. He's a loving God. But that don't give you another time to sin. Just because He forgave you, He don't forgive all of them that you ain't done yet. So until you get behind the veil, beyond the veil, your life's still here. And the way you die, leave this world, is who you are. And that book is behind you. And God knows how it's being filled every day. And we got to be careful how we fill that book of life. You know, I'm reminded of this little story. This young minister was preparing his sermon and had his pad out like I do. Put something down and look at it and raise it and write it again. And he watched his dad a while. And he says, "Dad, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm getting my sermon ready for tomorrow." He says, "Does God help you? Tell you what to do and what to write?" He says, "Oh, yes." He says, "What are you racing so much for?" So you got to be careful what you say and what you do. Because there's somebody listening. I guess I better put my glasses on if I'm going to put a plus on these words I'm telling you. You know, the world is full of correct society. The learned elders of the cloth. That right there opens a door on a lot of churches and looks in and see who's in there talking. And a lot of them ain't really giving the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And we need, you know, people in all these different churches. When a new one comes on, there's a new guy behind it, a new leader. Wherever you find leaders, you find a follower. And make sure that you just follow after one man and his doctrine, and that's Jesus Christ. What did he say? What did he say? What did he stand for? Who's got the power that he's got? I can't do what he can do unless I follow some of his instructions and have faith in what he's told me and what to do about it. And then miracles can be done. And as in the Book of Mormon here, talks about that, makes reference to some scripture there that nobody could heal anybody. And they finally realized that the ministers wasn't sanctified in front of God. I mean, they weren't righteous enough. I mean, a guy that's doing bad, he can't do nothing good. I don't care what his subject is, he can't do it. You can't get bitter water and sweet water out of the same deal. And if you're laying your hands on somebody, you can't leave the facts in front of God that, hey, you ain't practicing my gospel. You done this. I mean, he's aware of that. And the blessing is not going to come from unclean hands or unclean things. So a man has to purge the evil out of his conscience and give God the evidence that he is a clean vessel before God. And I've been guilty of a lot of things. But I'm trying to eliminate them. I ain't give up on that. And I need his help every day. And my faith tells me if he knows I'm, he understands me, I'll smile for the blessings that I get and be knowledgeable of and thank him for. You know, in the political arena today, the candidates competing for leadership for the common good, they haven't come to a unity. How many disturbances in the world that claim to be a person that represents God and His principle? How many? They're just all over, and they all got something different. They all want unity. They're not going to get it if they don't stop reading the truth and accepting what they read, and believe where the truth is. You do that by asking for the Holy Comforter to be your guide, your influence every day, every 24 hours. He needs to be able to thank Him for the guidance, the blessings of life. And we get them every day, every time we turn around. And these people that are campaigning today to be our leaders, they're spending money to prove to the world that they're the right ones. And most all of them have forgotten God. And then where are we left? It's left to us and our purpose in life, our relationship with God. And that's keeping our corner right before God, not before my neighbor. It's nice to have a neighbor think well of you. You know, they can be a bunch of thieves, get together and smile and pat each other on the back for stealing. Yeah, you got two cars last night. But that don't make it right just because they got together. The majority don't have the truth very often. So there's a long way to go and a long road. And you know, these people, after they get putting out a commercial, they say, "I approve of this message." Well, I hope I can approve of this message I'm saying today. I pray I ain't lying. What can we say now? Again, we continue to quote Scripture and what Paul said. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized with Him into His death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in the newness of life. For we have been planted together this rather than being a hypothetical, conjectured ideal, but our commitment and obedience to all the aspects of the pasture fence. That's the Ten Commandments. I use the Ten Commandments as a herd of cattle in a pen. They can't get out. As long as they stay in there, they're going to be doing the right thing. And if we are always under the Ten Commandments, then Paul says it'll be with us all of our life, the Ten Commandments. That responsibility, it'll always be there for us to keep us in the straight and narrow. Than being a hypothetical and conjectured ideal, but our commitment and obedience to the aspects of the pasture fence. It is not meant to be an amplified state of some professor's scented portion of wisdom. It is the defining nature of the child of God who is being transformed into a verbal protege, the child of God, not merely a carbon copy of some polished pastor under on TV or a self-confirmed doctor of divinity, having given this honor to himself, promulgating his esoteric cognitions of the scripture to a large mesmerized audience having itching ears, not to mention his verbal evaporations of spiritual insight with accountants of his demure self-esteem. All these people get in these big churches and they got all things big and talk big, look big, but they're just hollow shells of the truth. And we all know this. So it's for us to always be in the favor of God every day, every moment, and be guarded that when we step up to the judgment day, there'll be something in our basket of living close to God. The gifts of the Spirit are many, conditions of the heart and soul. Long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, faith, the strength to love and the strength to forgive. You can't forgive somebody if you haven't loved him, then don't love him. These are the absolutes of charity. Qualifying ourselves makes us keep in the favor of God. What does the law, I say, pastor, fence, or... well, I had another name for him. If we are not looking to escape any more from the law, just consider what we have said. This is the true liberty. The truth will make you free, free from sin. The degree of commitment and obedience to the law, we will ultimately receive God's promises. Now our hearts are fixed on and not fixed. Well, can't read my own right. Now how far we can deviate back into the world's conduct. If we are trying to escape from the law anymore, why would we need that pasture fence or the commandments to confine us? This is the liberty we have been talking about. We truly understand the law, not the presumptuous behavior of those who have gotten fed up with something or someone to tell them what they can do or can't do. You can't erase the truth, which is the Word of God. And communication with God is important. Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi. For it would hearken unto the Spirit, which teaches a man to pray. You would know that ye must pray, for the evil spirit teaches not a man to pray, but teaches him not to pray. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray, always and not faint. And then we talked about humility. A man that's starving and as a beggar, he's pretty humble. And when God chastises, he makes us humble, makes us want and seek him again. I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint. Are we sufficiently humble? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time, within yourselves, that you could have been sufficiently, that you have been sufficiently humble? Even so, I would that you should remember, and always retain in remembrance, the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and His goodness, and His long suffering, towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves in the depths of humility, calling upon the Lord daily and steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come. And this scripture here, Christ hadn't come over here yet. And they were looking for him, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. Do we repent? I must repent because I am a sinner. Do we ask the Lord's forgiveness for our errors and strive to overcome the temptations to sin again? And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as a contrite, as be a contrite spirit. And behold, I have given you the law. That's the corral or the fence. And the Ten Commandments of my Father, that you shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins, come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Is my life a testimony of holding fast to the doctrine of Christ, the rod of iron, the anchor to my soul, the side of the way? Those are the truths that we mustn't forget. Is my life, my actions, my words, and my thoughts really a good testimony of a Christian witnessing to others that I'm not a hypocrite? Can we really be God's ambassador and representative of His great mercies and long suffers, presenting a true image of Christ? And then in 2 Corinthians, now that we are ambassadors, after we're baptized and as we strive down that road of probation, we're the ambassadors of what the world sees, what we present. Representative of His great mercies and long sufferings, presenting a true image of Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray, that's the ministers, by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Let us be admonished to keep the law, the commandments, judgments, statutes. Don't forget the testimonies. Not forswearing thyself. Let your communications be yea, yea, nay, and nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You know, we can be a vain babbler. We can multiply words. And we can ask for things God already knows about. So if you carry the Spirit of God and know His mercy and trust Him, as long as you pray and follow after Him, He's got you in the palm of His hand. You don't have to worry about it. Can we find eternal life? Let's show God the evidence that we love Him, because He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is evident on your manifest to present to God each day? And certainly when we step up to the judgment day and receive our rewards. Thank you.
then I'm not going to read it. In Ether chapter 1, verses 31 through 35, we also have the same kind of words that Lehi gave us here, that that the people of this land shall serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, or they shall be swept off when the Lord, when His wrath is fully ripened, and the people are fully ripened in iniquity. That's when they'll be swept off. And only the Lord knows when this land is fully ripened in iniquity. I think it can't be, I don't know what fully ripened means, but we're getting there, I think. I'm just going to read out of Joshua some familiar verses, a couple of verses.